Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We've been doing a little bit of a series here on abundant life. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. And there are a lot of things that are abundant in our abundant life with Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to look at another one. We've seen abundant grace, abundant joy. And now we're going to look at abundant wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then he goes on and continues that sentence through many things. But notice, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us tonight be able to preach these words to your pleasing. We pray your Holy Spirit will work in our midst to teach us, bring thoughts to our minds, Father, about how to apply these things in our lives. Keep those thoughts away from our minds, Father, that would keep us from hearing. And help us when we hear to know how you are addressing a specific area in our lives where we need to apply what we're learning so that we can grow. And we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray tonight, Father, for the teen class, Bible clubs, all those that are working and teaching tonight. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. We pray for our children to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray as well that the teachers will be filled with your Holy Spirit to teach and teach just what you want, the way you want it. And I also pray for the children to receive those things and learn by them so their lives will change and grow and good foundations be established in the Word of God. May you be pleased with all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So we have abundant life in Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And when you look in the Bible at the abundance of things that are given to us in our eternal life, it is absolutely amazing what all we have. And this passage here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, tell us that we have abundant wisdom, or wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay? Now, God's abundant wisdom can be found in some places or in some people, and we're going to look at those tonight so we know where we can obtain that wisdom, where we can find it. And according to this text, the first place that we would expect to find wisdom is in the Lord, in him personally, wherein he hath abounded toward us in how much wisdom? All wisdom, in all wisdom and prudence. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, just a couple of books over. Colossians chapter 2. And notice verses 2 and 3 and see again another witness, another testimony to this abundant wisdom, this wisdom that resides in the Lord. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Watch it. So he's mentioning God, the Father and Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden? They are hidden in the Father. They're hidden in Christ. So the first place to find wisdom is in the Lord himself. He has it all. Now, I know we're looking at some verses, but it's important for us to understand exactly what Paul is showing us compared with some other scriptures in the Bible so that we really, really, really get what he's saying here. So look at another place with me in Proverbs chapter 21. I don't mind taking you through some more scripture tonight on this subject before we comment on it so that you can really, really, and truly understand, or like Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you know, does he really get this? In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30, all right, the Bible says, there is no wisdom. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Well, you know, when I read in Psalms, I see that we are not to stand in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's certainly counsel. And in Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth take counsel together against the Lord. And he's saying, you know what? There's no counsel against the Lord. That counsel's not going to stand. Likewise, there's no wisdom against the Lord. When the wisdom of the world meets the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world comes to nothing, and the wisdom of God stands alone. You have to look at another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and notice how the Bible shows you the true exclusive wisdom of God as compared to anything else that men can cook up. And I realize there are wise men and there are all kinds of things that we see in the earth, but when it comes to wisdom that stands against the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God stands alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So there's wisdom, and there's some wisdom that's not against God that you can find. But if you're looking for wisdom, if I'm looking for wisdom, all we have to do is go to God. And we're going to get the wisdom that He has. Right? That's because that's where it is. It's in the Lord. Now you say, well, if I'm going to go to the Lord to get wisdom, how am I going to approach Him? How? I can't see Him, I can't touch Him, I can't feel Him, I can't go into a room where He is, sit down across the desk from Him, and ask Him the question. Well, you can't visibly, but you can, because the Bible tells us that you can. And you do that in prayer. Turn with me to James chapter 1 on this point. This is the last passage of Scripture we'll look at, so I know you've just been turning and turning. And I don't want you to be frustrated arriving just at the point when we're leaving that passage of Scripture. But see this, James chapter 1, and look at verse 5. Watch what the Bible says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. To upbraid somebody is to bawl them out for asking. If you're in athletics and your coach has gone over these drills with you and gone over these plays with you and you've got them all memorized for the big game, and then you go to the coach's office and you go, now, coach, what is 75 left, hup 3? And he looks at you and says, man, how long have you been coming to practice? We've gone over this thing a million times. What are you doing coming here asking me what 75 left, hup 3 is? That's upbraiding him. God won't do that. You go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I really don't know what to do here. He expects us to come. It says, and upbraideth not, and watch it, it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what he's saying is, if you come to me and ask me for wisdom, you better do what I say. You got your mind made up what you're going to already do anyway. Well, then don't bother me with it, because you're going to go off contrary to my wisdom, and there is no wisdom against the Lord. Whatever you choose to do, you will fail. Now, somebody said, well, can I really do that? Can I really come to the Lord and ask Him for wisdom? I don't know mechanically how the Lord does this. But I do know spiritually that He honors what He said here. Because He does have all wisdom. When you come to the Lord in prayer, and you say, now, Lord, I need to know what to do here. You can pray, and when the Lord is ready for you to know what it is that He wants you to do about the thing you're praying, He will tell you, and when I say tell you, I'm not talking about something audible. I'm not talking about an intuition. I'm not talking about a feeling. There is just a certainty. There's a clarity of your thinking. There's a clarity of your mind. There is a certainty of this thing coming from the Lord. Like I said, there's nothing spooky. There's nothing weird. There's no, I got to go find out from the Lord, get down here, pray, come back 5 minutes later and say, He told me to tell you. Most of us don't live in that arena. That what there is just a certainty over time where the Lord settles peacefully in your heart and in your mind a direction that He wants you to go. Many of you know what I'm talking about, but you know that stuff has to come from the Lord. And in our context here of James chapter 1, he says in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Most people are too big a rush when they come to God asking that question. A lot of times what the Lord has to do is He has to dismantle your plans. A lot of times He has to dismantle your zeal for the thing you want Him to do. Many times He has to unwind your desire for God to confirm your stupidity or mine. A lot of times He has to deal with us about our motives. He has to deal with us about our ambitions in these matters until we get settled down and we're ready to follow what He wants us to know, and then we get some wisdom on it. And in my own experience, which is pretty limited for that matter, it takes time. Most of the time for us to get away from, Daddy, can I go to the show tonight? You know what I mean? That pressing to get God to approve plans we've already made. That's not what this is at all. This is really coming to God, finding out what He wants, backing off and doing His thing. So wisdom is in the Lord, and he gives that to those who ask. Now, if you're prone to being double-minded and you're wishy-washy in these things, He's going to turn your water off just like He did for Saul. Saul came to Him wanting to know how things were going to turn out in a particular war, and God cut him off. He wouldn't tell him by dreams or visions or prophets or any way. So Saul was so determined to find out, he went and got a woman with a familiar spirit and had Samuel raised up out of his rest so he could find out what's going to happen. And when you approach God that way and you're desperate to find out and He's not willing to tell you, you got to remember it could be one of two things. You hadn't been following what He's already shown you to do, or He doesn't want you to know. It's His wisdom, right? And if he really wants you to know, He'll make it, and He'll make it plain, and it'll be unmistakable, and it'll bear ripe fruit. All right, God's abundant wisdom can not only be found in the Lord, but it can also be found where you would expect it to be found the most. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, we're going to start out and read all, but we're going to read 11 verses here. Keep Proverbs 8 open. We're going to actually read a few more verses. But notice how available wisdom is that is in the words of God. Proverbs chapter 8, I'll begin reading with me in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it, to wisdom. Now here, wisdom is being personified, and wisdom's out there on the gates, and wisdom's up there, in the entry of the city, and it's crying out to people. But notice what wisdom is using is words of my mouth. Listen, I believe with all my heart that what I just read, God said. I believe that. These are the words. These are the words that cry at the gates and at the entering of the city. These are the words. And they're plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Wisdom then cries with right words. Wisdom cries with plain words. And who does wisdom speak to in this passage of Scripture? In verse 4, or verse 5, who's wisdom seeking out? Simple people. Fools. See that? That seems strange in a way, doesn't it? You would think that wisdom would cry to the intellect, and wisdom would cry to the prudent, and wisdom would cry to the wise. But she doesn't. You know what she's doing? She's crying out to those that need to know and don't know, hoping that a simple person or a foolish person will turn and say, "Hey, I need that. Tell me." Now keep your finger where you are and turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and notice that what you just heard is absolutely consistent with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here in the earth. Luke chapter 10. We're going to come right back to Proverbs chapter 8. Luke chapter 10. And we want verse 21. Luke chapter 10. And we want verse 21. Now notice what Jesus Christ said during his earthly ministry. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for seem good in thy sight." You see that? So wisdom, when a man comes to this Bible and says, "Oh, I'm a scholar. I got so many initials after my name, you put them all together, you'd think it's my last name." D-D, M-D, M-T-H, B-D, and all that other stuff, And so he comes to this, and you know what he does? He judges this book. He goes to other languages and tells you what he thinks it ought to say. And you know who's not involved in that transaction? The Lord. But when you and I come to this, if we come as babes, if we humble ourselves and say, "Now, Lord, if there's no wisdom against you and I'm just a man, I don't want the wisdom that I have to be foolishness before you. I don't want it to be destroyed. So I don't have any wisdom compared to you. I'm a simple person. And if I go on in my own way, I'm a foolish person. So you show me." Now turn back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and look at verse 34. See, a person who thinks he already knows it all is not a person that the Bible can reach at all. My brother and I were talking the other day, and he says, when I deal in difficult situations with people, I've learned over the years to just ask them this question: is there anything that I can say that will change your mind? And if the person says no, then he says, then it's nice knowing you, it's good talking, but we're done. Right? Because the person's only going to become more resolved in his thinking than he is if you argue with him, because he's going to just come up with a bunch more arguments to further establish the foundation of his thinking. Wisdom comes to you and says, if I show you something from the Scripture, will you change what you're doing? You look at that and say, sure. And so you read through here and the Lord shows you something. And you're like, got to change that. See? He's looking for somebody who's simple, somebody who needs to learn. So Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 34. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching how often? Daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Isn't that what we're talking about here, abundant life? And he said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You're going to find life. You're going to find wisdom. You're going to find favor of the Lord in the Bible. But he says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So when you're looking for wisdom, you get it by a daily review of those plain, of those right words that have come out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says, but if you sin against his wisdom, you're going to wrong your own soul. It's going to affect you. There's a price to be paid for that. So where's wisdom? It's in the Lord. You need to really be praying about things. All decisions that you make, you need to be praying about those. Where's wisdom? It's in the Bible. And those run concert. You understand, most of the time I talk to you about the Lord speaking to you, most of the time, these two are inseparable, the Lord and the Bible. And I found in my own life when I'm praying, I'm reading, praying, this is what puts the right thoughts in your head about what God's been showing you when you're asking him for counsel and wisdom. It's right here. All right, but there's another place. Wisdom is in the Lord. Wisdom is in the Bible. And wisdom is in wise counselors. Wisdom is in wise counselors. All right, there are three places in the book of Proverbs that we want to see. Just three verses. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. All right, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right, turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 15. We're looking for wisdom, right? Okay, here it is. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is, what's the next word? Wise. He's wise. Why? Because he's listening to wise counsel. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So that stuff rubs off on you. All right, now one more time, look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Well, you know, if you read this exactly the way that it's written, he tells us that we are fools to proceed in a way without first obtaining wise counsel. In other words, there are people who just pray and just read the Bible and don't seek counsel. And there is a balance of all three. There's a balance of all three. It's not that the counselor is wiser than God. We know that's not true. It's not that the counselor is wiser than the Bible. The counselor is a person who has already gone through it. The counselor is a person who has already experienced the benefit of the wisdom that you've seen. And here he goes. The counselor knows not just what is said, but understands the implementation of that counsel. And that's very important. For instance, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, and that a husband is supposed to rule his family, we're supposed to rule his wife, all right? All you guys, that's wisdom from God, and that's wisdom from the Bible, so you go home tonight, and you get you a gavel, and you go in the kitchen counter, and you boom down like that, said, I'm in charge from now on, and see how it goes. You're going to need some counsel that will help you with the implementation of that wisdom that you've just learned. Or you may end up making a bigger mess than you've already got. You understand? So you obtain wise counsel. Now listen, when you ignore wise counsel, when you ignore the opportunity to get counsel when you need it, or you get counsel but you reject that counsel so that you can do what you want to do, the decision you make is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You know, a lot of times what happens, people read the Bible and they know what's right. Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on around them that reinforces wrong behavior. Okay, but they know what's right. It is not until they come and they get counsel from two or three people who have the same book, the same God, that they realize, you know what, I have to change this. I have to do this a different way. Or they help you to be able to make the decision in a way that it doesn't capsize the ship you're on when you make the decision. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is easy to rock the boat if you don't employ some wisdom in the application of the wisdom you've been receiving. You always come out better in the long run by receiving and following wise counsel. Always. Always. Now, the Bible tells us from what we've seen here in these three passages, these three different places, these different people where we get wisdom. We don't get just a little bit of wisdom. The Bible tells us when we come to the Lord, when we come to the Bible, when we come to wise counselors, the Bible says we get abundant wisdom. You know how much abundant wisdom is? All you need and then some. You'll have enough to be able to help somebody else. Abundant wisdom is part of your abundant life in Christ. And I'll tell you what, honestly, if you follow it, if you follow wisdom, you're going to end up in the right place. Yeah, and you're going to end up very happy with the abundant life that Lord Jesus Christ has given you. What I've noticed about wisdom at first is it usually steers you away from some things that you've been doing and into some things that you need to do. And that steering away from some things you've been doing can be a little bit like pulling teeth. It can be a little bit rough at first. But after your jaws heal, after the pain of the change is gone, and you're now out into some better, wiser ways of living and doing things, you look back on that and you go, man, I know that was painful, but boy, was that ever the right thing to do. Look where we are now. You have to consider with wisdom, God's dealing with the long run. He's trying to give you enough to help you make a few steps here that are going to lead out at the right place, and so you've got to make those changes when the Lord shows you what they are. So wisdom is in the Lord, and He has it all. Wisdom is in the Bible, and the Lord has to direct you. There are a lot of people that have been hurt by misunderstanding the Bible and applying it in a way that suits their personal desires and needs. And wisdom is in wise counselors. And when you get those three in balance, that really works well for you. And it's abundant. And it's a good thing. And I thank God for it. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for your abundant wisdom that comes with your abundant life. And I'm asking you, please, help us all. I am thankful for the wise counselors that you've put in my life. I'm thankful for the wisdom that's in this Bible and the great direction, the great changes you've made. I'm so thankful, Father, that you're the one who has the wisdom, that we can come to you constantly in prayer and you'll constantly guide us. Help us, Father, to make right implementation of the things you show us. For we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.